It's great to be with you here tonight on such a special night. Our reading tonight is from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good evening, everyone. If we haven't met before, my name is Chris Kendall. I'm one of the pastors here at Concord Church, and just thank you so very much for coming and being a part of our worship together tonight. Yesterday, my wife Jan gave me some advice for this Christmas, and I thought I would share it with you. It was good advice. So she said, Chris, I want you to forget the past because you can't change it. Okay, Jan, that's good. That's good advice. I'll listen to that one. And she said, secondly, forget the present because I didn't get you one. And that really is fully Jan approved, so it's all good. I'm safe. But you know, over the last 4 weeks, we have been talking about this great adventure that we are on, right? We've been walking through the season of Advent where we find hope and joy and peace and love. And as we've been doing that, we have been using the adventures of Lewis and Clark as a backdrop to help us understand this adventuresome spirit. But I got thinking about Lewis and Clark and about adventuring and got thinking about getting lost. I mean, have you ever been lost before? I mean, maybe you were driving someplace, you didn't know where you're going, and you took a wrong turn, and you're lost. Or maybe, as something I've done a couple times recently, wasn't paying attention when I went to a parking garage, parked my car, and forgot which floor I was on. And I had to come out, and well, needless to say, I got all of my steps in both those days. But you know, the culmination of Lewis and Clark's adventure come after months of muddy rivers and frostbitten mornings and thick mountain forests. Lewis and Clark, they come in the Corps of Expedition, they reach the edge of the Pacific Ocean. And in his journal, Clark simply wrote, "Ocean in view, oh the joy." Right, this was the moment that they had dreamt of, that the destination that made this entire journey worthwhile. But what they saw wasn't just water, it was light. It was endless, bright, crashing, horizon-stretching light. And that's really where we stand tonight. We're at the culmination of our adventure that we've been on, and our end is waiting just over the horizon, or in about 4 hours. Right? We'll reach our destination shortly, and if we look hard enough, we can see it from here. You know, perhaps if you're of a certain age group, you remember this TV jingle about Motel 6, right? We're going to leave the light on for you. Tom Baudet. Well, that is what Christmas is all about, right? It's God's way of leaving the light on for us. And Christmas Eve, Christmas season, is a season full of light. We string lights on our houses and on our trees. We gather around candles. We sing about stars and angels glowing in the darkness. And yet, for many people, Christmas Eve is also a night where darkness feels especially close. Maybe the year's been a long one. Losses are still fresh. Worries haven't taken a holiday. Grief doesn't decide to check the calendar and wait until January to show up. And that's why the Gospel of John begins Christmas in a surprising place. Not in a stable, not with shepherds or angels, but with light shining into the darkness. Here again, the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the very beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And John takes us all the way back to the beginning. Before Bethlehem, before Mary and Joseph, before creation itself. John tells us that Jesus is not simply a baby born into the world. Jesus is the eternal Word through whom the world was made. And this Word was life. And this life is light. Not a fragile light. Not a flickering light. Not a flame that might go out at the first sign of trouble. This is a light that shines into the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And this matters. It matters because darkness is real. John doesn't pretend otherwise. He doesn't say that darkness is an illusion or that if we have enough faith, we can simply ignore the darkness. He names it plainly. Right? Darkness exists. Sin, suffering, injustice, fear, loneliness, death. And we know this darkness personally. We see it in our world. We feel it in our own lives. But Christmas proclaims this, that darkness does not have the final word. And John says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Did you catch what John said? The true light, not one option among many, not a temporary glow, not a passing trend. The true light, the light that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. You know, Christmas is God stepping into our darkness. God doesn't stand at a distance and shout instructions from far away to us. But the Word becomes flesh and dwelt among us. The light did not stay far away. The light has come to us. And John continues, he says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Isn't that still true today? The one who actually made the world, the one who actually walked in it, many didn't see him. Many still don't see him. They don't see him because they're looking for something else. Power, control, certainty, success. Certainly weren't looking for humility wrapped in light. And yet even with all of this rejection, grace was at work. John continues and he says, he came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Church, you don't want to miss this. Christmas is an invitation. It's an invitation to receive, not to have to achieve something. It's an invitation to believe, not a performance that we have to do. It's an invitation to become children, not to earn the approval of someone. The light is not only something we admire, it is something we welcome. And when we receive Christ, we are welcomed into God's family. Not because of our background, not because of our perfection, not because of our strength, but because of his grace. Now, John said that we are children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Right? This is the new birth, a new life, a new beginning that we are invited to receive right in the middle of our story. And then we read one of the most astonishing sentences ever. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh. God didn't remain an idea. God didn't remain as some abstract thought. God took on skin and bones and breath. God entered time and space. God entered into the neighborhood. This passage in John culminates with these words. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not grace without truth, not truth without grace, but full of both. And that is the light that has come into this world, and that means that we can have grace for our failures and truth for our confusion. It means we can have grace for our shame and a truth that will set us free. Christmas Eve is not just about remembering something that happened long ago. It is recognizing something that is happening right now. The light still shines. The Word still speaks. Christ still comes to dwell with us. Now, some of us came here tonight feeling joyful and full. Others have come feeling weary and carrying burdens that no one else can see. Some of us here tonight might feel very certain in our faith. Others have questions and doubts, maybe even wounds from a church. The good news is that Christmas is the light that does not wait for the perfect conditions. It shines in the darkness. You know, tonight as we light our candles, we will be passing the flame from one another, and soon enough, this entire room will glow. Each candle by itself is small, each flame is gentle, but when you put them all together, they push back the darkness. That is what Christ does in us, and that is what Christ does through us. And as we become bearers of this life, of this light, carrying hope into dark places, speaking peace into fear, living love in a hurting world. And so tonight, receive the Word made flesh. Welcome the light that has come. Trust that no matter how deep the darkness feels, it will not win. Because the light that shines in the darkness has come, and the darkness will not overcome it. Thanks be to God. Tonight, as we'll be taking our candles, and so I think all the candles are on the edges of your pews, and so let's take a moment now, and we're going to pass those down and put those candles together. Now I'm going to invite my ushers forward at this time. Ushers are going to come forward. They're going to have candles. We're going to turn off the lights, and we're going to pass the light. I wish you all could see the view of the light passing from up here. It's incredible. This room gets brighter and brighter, and it's a beautiful reminder of the truth that we proclaim tonight. The light of the world has come, and darkness will not overcome it. Just a practical moment here. When you are receiving the light, the unlit candle, the darkness bows to the light. The light never bows to the darkness. The light has come into the world, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Church, this is what we are called to be. Lights in a dark and broken world. We are to be signposts and direction givers. We are to be hope purveyors in a world that desperately needs it. Let us be that light. Let us be that church. Thanks be to God. Amen. 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 Thank you all so much for being here with us this morning. I just want to extend an invitation. If you don't have a church home and are looking for one, we would love for you to come here. We have two services every Sunday morning, one at 8:30.
Except
for this coming Sunday. Yeah, don't come to 8:30. We have an 8:30 service. That's the traditional service that meets in this space. We have an 11 o'clock contemporary service that meets in the Bethany Hall, which is on the other side of our building. Either one is, they're both wonderful services, and there is a place waiting for you. We have wonderful children's ministries and youth ministries, Bible studies, adult Sunday schools, and more. So you are welcome, you are wanted, and we would love to have you. So, brothers and sisters, in just a few hours, it's going to be Christmas. And don't forget what Christmas is. Christmas is an invitation. It's an invitation to believe that the light has come into the world. We didn't go to heaven. The light came to us. It pursued us, and it continues to pursue us. Amen. Thank you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.